This is City Lights on WABE Atlanta, and I'm back in high school with that music, some of my favorite. Dashboard is an arts agency that challenges artists to create work in untraditional venues. The organization is based here in Atlanta, but since it was founded in 2010, Dashboard has put on 42 exhibits in 7 U.S. cities. The new exhibit is actually headed to a more traditional venue, Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. It's Women Change Agents, the photographs of Dr. Doris Derby, which is on view now in the atrium at Hartsfield-Jackson. A future exhibition, which will be at the Marshall Wood Gallery, focuses on gun culture and opens in April. We have Dashboard co-founder and executive director Beth Malone in studio with us, along with Dr. Doris Derby. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Dashboard, you're doing something quite out of the ordinary. Why are you in this more traditional venue?
That's a good question. I think we were so excited to get Dr. Derby's photographs in front of a large audience, an international audience. Her photographs are so important. They always have been, but particularly now, I think they have a new context to reach broad audiences, and we just wanted to make sure that they were seen by as many people as possible. And what better place than the busiest airport in the world? and the only place you could access without having to go through security, the Atrium Gallery. So we're so thrilled that she agreed to have the show there with us.
That's great. Will you still apply the experimental principles of your curatorial work?
Definitely. I think it's always exciting for people to engage with work in a place that they don't necessarily expect it to be. So the Atlanta Airport Art Program has provided us a space to access people when they don't know they're going to see artwork. So they think they're traveling. They are traveling. But they're also going to be engaged with these beautiful large format black and white photographs depicting women who are leading and supporting the civil rights movements in such a big way. So I think definitely our curatorial philosophy is still present with this show.
Doris, this isn't the first time you've worked with Dashboard, is it?
No. A couple of years ago, Dashboard in their gallery in Midtown had a group show, and I had a number of pieces that depicted the activities of women. They were nationally known, they were statewide known, and they were, some people looked like they were unknown to people outside of, to outside of their neighborhood. But most of my photographs reflect the civil rights movement, especially in Mississippi. I was a veteran civil rights worker in Mississippi from 1963 to 1972. I initially went there as a teacher to work in an adult education program to help train people in order to get them to register to vote and to be able to vote. And we were an arm of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Many people think that SNCC was just in the political arena, but there are many programs that supplemented the political side in the educational field, economic development, and artistry-type initiatives. And one of them was a program called Southern Media Incorporated. This was a documentary photography and filmmaking unit that was founded by two Northerners, and they wanted to train young people in Mississippi to take photographs and know the ins and outs of documentary filmmaking. And they asked me to join their team, and I did. And that's when I, in about 1966, 67, that's when I started taking so many photographs.
You were very young.
Yes, I was. Andrew Young, who I worked with in Albany, Georgia, when I see him, he always says, "Oh, I knew you back when you was just a kid, 16 or 17. Well, I looked young, but I wasn't that young.
Okay, well, you still do. And obviously, you were mature enough to take on some huge responsibility. Why did you want to specifically highlight women in leadership positions in this exhibit?
Well, you know, we tend to think that leadership is just those people that we know. And those same people are always represented. And I wanted to show that leadership came in many different ages and with different backgrounds. And this is Black History Month. And then in March, it's Women's History Month. And so these photographs fall into both categories. But they reflect the ordinary person, the teacher, the political activist, of you know, the women that started the first Head Start program in the country. That took place in Mississippi, and I was also a teacher with that programs, the Child Development Group of Mississippi. We have photographs of the arts. I was involved in establishing the Free Southern Theater in Jackson, in Mississippi, at Tougaloo College. And we took plays around, we had a repertory theater. And we took plays to all different areas throughout the state of Mississippi and Georgia, Alabama, and so on over a period of time. So Free Southern Theater, for example, was the cultural arm of the Civil Rights Movement. So we need to show all of these activities that were going on because, you know what, they're still needed.
Oh,
there's
yes.
still initiatives that are needed in education, in economic development, in the arts. And so this just shows that time period, which is very relevant mm-hmm. for this time period. The Free Southern Theater is still, it went out in 1985. It completed its run, you might say. But there was an offshoot of it, which is Junebug Productions. That's based in New Orleans, and they are continuing our legacy. So there are many legacies that have continued. They don't get the publicity. And I want to show the historical tie-ins with what is needed today.
Doris, who are some of the women featured in your photographs?
Well, we have Fannie Lou Hamer, who was a sharecropper who became a part of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and she was a real heroine for the Civil Rights Movement and particularly working so hard on behalf of not only people in Mississippi, but for people all over the country. She was a lead delegate in the challenge to the Mississippi Democratic Party because in the 60s and prior to that time, the Democratic Party was segregated in the South. And that's a big part of why the Civil Rights Movement was taking place and the important milestones that she, for example, made as a part of her struggle to make sure that Black people would be able to vote and safeguard that. We still have challenges for that, even today. So Fannie Lou Hamer and Annie Devine and Virginia Gray were all women that especially were involved in that struggle. Dorothy Height, Dr. Dorothy Height, who was the president of the National Council for Negro Women, she's in one of the pictures. And as I said, there are women who, in terms of their name, they're not known outside of their immediate community, but they worked with the struggle to make sure that the Head Start program was available to black children, and that all of these initiatives are, you know, many of them are still going on in Mississippi. The role of the black farmers, for example, farmers meaning men and women who had to struggle to keep their land, and many of them who were sharecroppers were thrown off of the land when they decided to participate in any aspect of the civil rights movement.
You're from New York originally, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
The answer to this may be very obvious, but it's going through my head. Were you terrified when you went down to Mississippi and started working in these different initiatives?
No, I wasn't. I was just so aghast when, in the spring of 1963, I was watching the news and I saw the police bring out the dogs and the water hoses, the billy clubs, all of that against men, women, and children who were demonstrating for their right to vote, to integrate the counters and all of that. And
peaceful demonstration.
Peaceful demonstration. And so I just felt that I had to, my priority was to see what I could do to help. And earlier that year, Bob Moses, who was over the voter registration drive with SNCC in Mississippi, he had come to speak at a fundraiser I was giving for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And he asked me, would I come to Mississippi to be a lead person in the Adult Literacy Project? And at that time, I said, well, no, you know, I'm teaching and I'm getting ready to go off to grad school. And when I saw what was happening in Birmingham and other places, but those pictures on the news with the fire hoses shooting across and, you know, really attacking of these children and men and women, I said, well, I'm going to go to Mississippi as I was asked, because that's the least I can do, to use my skills to work in the civil rights movement against all the racial oppression. Now, my father was in civil rights, and I, my grandparents, my grandmother and her oldest son in Bangor, Maine, were charter members of the NAACP in the 1920s. So I have a legacy, and so The terror was not really part of my psyche. I did experience some, over the time period that I was there, I did experience threats and violence and so on. But that was not the primary thing. I was so busy, we were so busy working to do what we needed to do, that we just did what we had to do.
So your mission, you fervently believed, was to document.
To document and to participate and to initiate. You know, I initiated a number of projects. I felt like, you know, a pioneer. I had, my great aunt was a missionary in Liberia in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And as I said, my father was an initiator to fight discrimination in the civil service in the North, in New York City. So it just was really a part of my heritage. It really was just something I had to do.
Your photos will also be featured along the New Freedom Park Pathway Public Art Project at the Atlanta Beltline. Do you find that Atlanta is particularly dedicated to celebrating and highlighting civil rights leaders?
Well, I think that, yes. I think that we see leadership with the Office of Cultural Affairs in this realm. That's the office, the mayor's office of cultural affairs is the one that is has spearheaded this big mural project in the historic King District on the Atlanta Beltline. And the dedication of these two murals, actually, I have about 20 photographic images that are represented in the murals. And I was the lead photographer in this endeavor. And the opening is on February 25th at 2 o'clock, the dedication. You can go to Eventbrite in order to register to be able to attend.
Wonderful. Dr. Doris Derby's work is on view now in the atrium at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. Beth Malone is the co-founder and executive director of Dashboard, curator of the exhibit. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.